Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Greetings. You're listening to Guiding Stars Evolutionary Astrology Radio. This is Kristen Fontana, and I'm here with Rose Marcus, my co-host. Welcome back, Rose.
Thanks, Kristen. Always great for us to be together.
Indeed. And we are gathering today on February 22nd. It's a Thursday, 2024. We've been talking about this triple conjunction, Pluto, Mars, and Venus in Aquarius. And before we do discuss this a little bit to set the stage for the next month, please let us know what's going on for you.
Oh, thank you, Kristen. Just wanted to mention that I've done a recording for those who might be interested. I post on my website for the pivotal transits for 2024. So if you want to get the scoop on that, take a look at the recording that I've done for, you'll see it posted on my website. So thank you for letting me mention that.
Of course. Oh, my goodness. I'm checking that one.
Sure. Yeah. And, of course, okay. We should also mention the Jeffrey Wolf Green Association of Evolutionary Astrologers and our monthly lectures. And if you don't know about that, Kristen, the website address is again?
It's jwgaea.org.
Okay, very good. And and you have a talk coming up pretty soon. On Venus and Mars, is it?
Yeah, that one's going to be in April, but your next month, your March, you're going to be with Rab from England, and you're going to talk about the Sun-Moon phase on the 9th of March. So that one's coming up first or soon. And I believe if you have not joined the series, you can jump in now. Absolutely, you can. And you can get the classes that were already started back in December with you and me, looking at Pluto and Mars. But if you are interested in evolutionary astrology, we love, love, love this topic. It's the planetary phases. It's a relationship between two planets in your chart. You could spend so much time just looking at the relationship between two planets. We call them aspects. And we are, you will be, again, the sun and the moon. We're all familiar with that, of course, our sun sign and the moon. That's going to be just a wonderful class. And there's been other pairings that we've already had, and Jason Hawley and I are going to do a Mars-Venus class, a relationship class, which, of course, we all love to hear more about in April. So check it out if you haven't already, or email Rose or myself, and we'll give you the info on that.
Yeah. And I will also put up a recording on Venus and Mars of a workshop I recently did. That'll be posted in another week or so as well, too. So, yeah, we've got lots to support you on the journey. And for our association, anything that's passed is pretty meaty. So know that if you're just jumping into it now, there's some really dynamic talks that we have given that are available to you. So please jump on board with us.
Yeah. Okay. Excellent.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, if I can just mention, we're on the 22nd of February today, and yesterday was the Venus-Mars conjunction. You're doing the talk, and I've just done a talk on Venus and Mars. And again, that Venus and Mars conjunction, Venus and Mars are a two-year cycle. Every 2 years, they meet up again. And this meeting of Venus and Mars, it's 6 degrees Aquarius. It launches a whole new cycle. Every 2 years, you renew the initiative of evolution through the dynamic of relationship, right? And Aquarius is a signature for the social climate as well, too. This year, it's a record year for the political landscape because there's a lot of elections coming up this year. But, it's relationships at all levels, as I say every time we talk about Venus and Mars, me to me to you, and me to us, right? It's a whole dynamic. But I also wanted to mention that Venus and Mars are the rulers of the transiting nodes, the lunar nodes, the south nodes in Libra, the north nodes in Aries. And so that makes anywhere that Venus and Mars are traveling, transiting in your own chart, particularly potent. And along with this, in the research that I've done, Pluto's just entered into Aquarius. Every 2 years, Pluto will spend 20 years in the sign of Aquarius. And in this 20-year period, Venus and Mars conjunct in the same sign that Pluto currently is in, Aquarius, happens only once during the entire Pluto in Aquarius transit. And only once are the rulers of the nodes in Aquarius, same sign that Pluto is in right now during this entire 20-month cycle. So I think that this gives an extra springboard or an extra oomph, you know, for the Pluto and Aquarius chapter that we're all at the starting gate of, to really put a forward thrust into relationship dynamics wherever it is that you are. You know, Aquarius is about your personal reinvention, your relationship reinvention, right? You know, so this cycle couldn't be more important, and I can hardly wait to sit in on you and Jason coming up.
Yeah. Well, gosh, this we mentioned the last time we gathered, and to have Mars as the ruler of the North Node, being the first Aries, being the first sign of the zodiac, right? Mars ruling the North Node, our future, driving us into a new chapter. Venus, the ruler of the South Node in Libra, Venus ruling Libra, is all about really the relationships of our past, and with Pluto coming out of Capricorn and just wanting to move away and away from anything that has held you back or limited you in some way. Aquarius is so much about just the freedom that you feel within those relationships and the freedom that you feel within your own individuality. And so there's something so liberating about being yourself unapologetically and just trying new things, exploring new things, even if it's within a relationship. So this is so powerful, Rose. When you brought this up the last time we met, I have been talking about it a lot to people. It is so important to find out where Mars and Venus are traveling in your chart. Where are these nodes right now? In evolutionary astrology, we really look at Pluto and the nodes. This is the paradigm that shows us where your soul has been, why you're here now. Why are you here right now? What are you experiencing right now at this transition? This is a very electric transition, and it's a little bit like being at a T in the road. I mean, there's no gray zone anymore. It's black and white. You're very clear about what needs to happen. And so with Pluto and Mars and Venus all conjunct in Aquarius, really today, as we're talking, in a new phase conjunction, I mean, I really can't even put words to how it feels to me when I look at these planets convening right now. And so I did look back in time, Rose. I went back 248 years. I went even further. And I think I even went back 500 years or something. I was trying to find, when did Pluto conjunct Mars and Venus in Aquarius in a new phase? I didn't have time to keep going back. It could be thousands of years. I don't know. And you mentioned 20 months, you meant 20 years, I think, at the end of the last bit there. So in essence, we will never have this conjunction in our lifetime again, ever. Not only for the next 20 years while Pluto's in Aquarius, but then it moves into Pisces. So never will we have this experience again. This could be something that your soul is wrestling with or wanting to change and wanting to break free from. Not just from this life, but for many lifetimes. It is such an opportunity. And I feel with Mars and Venus and Aquarius and Pluto in this position, there can be so much courage that is accessed because of it being in Aquarius. You can be more objective about why something needs to change. You don't have to feel you're not as attached to it or emotionally bound by it. You're looking at it saying, wow, this is a change I need to make. You're watching your life in a different way. And you're like, I'm ready. I want the new wind, and you're going to be able to move into that new wind. And I'm sure so many of us now already, I woke up feeling it. The sun was pouring in through the windows this morning. I'm like, wow, this feels new. This feels this feels right. I feel ready. And so please allow yourself to align with this energy now and find the courage to move into a new lane. If that's what your soul is really, and you know, you're feeling ready to move into that fast lane now. You will be moving fast, faster than you can imagine. So
that's
my speech.
That's for sure. And, you know, Aquarius, the Venus Mars new phase Aquarius, this next 2-year period of this particular cycle is going to give you a whole new perspective, right? You know, this is what it's going to evolve on, all those relationships, the needs, the desires, what's pre-existing. You know, Aquarius itself, it correlates, as we've talked about in many of our shows here, correlates to cellular memory. And these are your extraordinary memories, right? You know, and these are the ones that are really ripe and ready to surface right now, whatever it is, that content, whether it's frozen, you know, something that has been stuck for lifetimes and lifetimes, this is where you get to examine. And, you know, I just the past few days, too, I'm becoming personally very aware. When you have Aquarius, it's like, you know, you're watching a movie of yourself in action, right? You know, it's that ability to stand back and to have an objective viewpoint of whatever it is, the action is of the moment. And I'm seeing that myself in terms of, this is really important. This Mars Venus is triggering. It is a very, very dynamic trigger for launching whatever the important karmic thread is that your soul is ready now to revisit and to have a new understanding of, to rearrange the deck chairs, to move in a new direction for yourself. This is so, so very dynamic. It's a work in progress. You know, if you don't know what it is, I just say stay alert. And this goes along with, as we go through this show and talking about it, you know, there's an eclipse on the 25th of March, and it's an eclipse, a lunar eclipse. It's a partial eclipse. It's in Libra and Aries. The eclipses happen along the nodal axis, right? We have another eclipse on April 8th, which will be at 19 degrees Aries, and that is conjunct Chiron as well, too. Chiron is, again, another statement for pulling up those extraordinary resources, which is cellular memory, you know, the main themes of the karmic threads that you are intending to work through, the timetable, the clock is right here, right now for doing all of this next 2 months. Dynamic.
Yeah. So the reason we're talking about something today, February 22nd, I know we're just throwing our hands up in the air. Holy smokes. So why are we spending so much time on this? Because like you said, it's a 2-year cycle. Whatever's happening right now is influencing the next 2 years of your life and frankly, the rest of your life. So it's a big deal. It's important to actually find the bottom line and get to the root of what it is that your soul needs next. Mars has to do with what we desire, what we want, and Venus has to do with what we need. They are very different things oftentimes. And those two planets are ruling opposite signs, and yet they're conjunct, which is, again, like, how do you even wrap your head around this? Well, it really just becomes an opportunity to throw something off from the past. When you look at Mars and Venus ruling really both sides of the nodes, the past, the future, you're wanting to throw whatever off from the past you don't want to carry with you. Just, it's like leaving baggage at the station that you don't want an extra suitcase. You don't have arms or space to carry on the train. Do I really need all this? Like, is this helping me? Is this serving me? Bye-bye. I'm not going to even think about it anymore. So that is what this is, the why. And I'm so glad you brought this up, Rose. There's two things I want to bring up. Oh my gosh, we could talk for the whole show on this, but Uranus rules Aquarius, and Uranus is linked, as you mentioned, with the long-term cellular memories that we do not have access to readily, right? We can't just open up the soul and those cells in our being and remember a past life unless you have certain sort of capacity. Most of us don't have those details, right? But what will happen is there'll be episodic memories that occur or flashes of insight and things that repeat and like, whoa, where did that come from? all this Aquarian energy can produce those kinds of experiences for all of us. And so what happens with this Uranus ruled triple conjunction is that it's linked with information. The information comes through from all the memories that you've repressed over time, like you said, or most or an abundance of, will surface now. Anything that you've repressed, and it can feel traumatic. It can feel nerve-wracking. Your nervous system can be affected by it. But you are able to, like you say, examine what's coming up now more objectively. So let it happen. The second way this information comes forward is the unlocking of these memories from ourselves that naturally come to the surface. So it's not necessarily the repressed kind of information, but it can come up more naturally and just surface suddenly. And it's almost like having a memory from your past that maybe you weren't ready to ever look at before. That probably is a repressed memory if it's not comfortable. If it's a positive thing, it wasn't necessarily repressed. It just, you weren't meant to see it yet, right? And then the third type of information is all of this Uranian information that is meant to come in that is linked to your larger future. Like it's that innovative information that's coming in. How can this information now lead you forward? What great ideas do you have? How can you make your relationship better because of new ideas that you have? You're reinventing your relationships, not only to others with others, but to yourself. So there's three ways that this information can come in and can surface, and it's transformational. This is really much more than just about now. And as you mentioned, Rose, my gosh, how you linked these eclipses to this moment is brilliant. The first eclipse being a full moon eclipse, because we have to emotionally open up to the change. This is why I think the full moon eclipse precedes the new moon eclipse, is because all this emotion has to come with this information. We have to feel through everything before we can actually make the permanent changes. We can't think we want to change something. We have to feel it all the way through before our soul says yes. And then the new moon eclipse can happen in April.
Well, and that full moon, you know, the moon is about the rising of a subjective consciousness, right? You know, so you have to become aware of that subjective consciousness in order to start an evaluation process that might be new, right? You know, so there's that piece of it. And, you know, I'm glad that you identified the different, you know, levels of the Aquarius archetype as well, too, because not only are we dealing with bringing that past to a culminating point, but it also will be now whatever is for the next phase for your future. You're going to get the downloads from that as well, too. So these new impulses, these new instincts, these new perceptions, these new pulls, you know, are going to get you there. And this is very interesting. In the first week of March, so we've launched as of the 21st of February, the new Venus-Mars cycle, 6 degrees Aquarius, and we just talked about that. And when we come to the 3rd of March, Venus will be in a square relationship to planet Uranus, which is all about that cellular memory and awakening. And, you know, it's a corner turn. And on the 9th of March, Mars does that corner turn with Uranus as well, too. So between now and the March 3rd date and the March 9th date, you know, a new phase is very experiential. It is giving you information that you may not fully recognize. And these two, the March 3rd, the March 9th, the aspect, the 90 degree angle is the last quarter square between those two planets, Venus, Uranus, Mars, Uranus. And what that does is a shift of consciousness, right? You know, the exposure to the circumstances, whatever it is that is a developmental curve right now, it's already in the works. It's already in the works. You might come to some fresh insights, some fresh impetus, some new way of evaluating, new way of seeing. Again, Aquarius is all about that objectivity, about being able to take a look at it from a different perspective. And so that's leading us into, you know, the preliminary setup for whenever we have an eclipse, you know, it is its relationship to the nodes. But these planets are already on their way to, right? They're already on their way to, or they're surpassing. So, yeah, we've got, we're in process right now, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, thank you for bringing that up again. As I just mentioned, Uranus rules Aquarius. So to have Mars and Venus in Aquarius squaring the ruler, Uranus, that is really gear changing. It can be a sudden pivot, and it can be illuminating. It can be an awakening. It can set you free. It can put you under stress for sure. It can put a relationship under stress, but it can also produce incredible speed and movement that you enjoy. So, you know, allow the energy to reveal itself to you, to reveal what it's wanting you to change and to address. I mean, it will do it for you. It's like, you know, you're on this ride, you're in this wave. So it's not like, you know, you're going to have a choice in some cases when Uranus and Mars square in particular.
You know, I just wanted to say one thing as well, too. You know, the Capricorn archetype and the repression and the past and so on, it's a denser vibration. It's heavy. You know, the pull backwards is so dynamic. And so it's just a point to make in terms of when you're standing on that threshold and trying to figure yourself out next, we tend to fall backwards instead of leap forward. And if you just take a pause, if you could just hold still for, you know, you know, for a count to three, you might make a different choice.
Oh, wow. That's so good, Rose. Hold still. Yeah, no, I mean, I think when we're dealing with Aquarius, it can make us freeze anyway, right? An experience or something that happens or news that you get, it could be exciting. Imagine getting some news that you really want to have and it's exciting. You do freeze. You will hold still, hopefully for the right reasons. We sped ahead, but I want to come back to the end of February briefly because we do have leap year this year. My favorite romantic comedy of all times, by the way, for all time, I think between Princess Bride and Leap Year. You know, I did have a teenage daughter, so, you know, I was able to watch a lot of these and enjoy them. But a wonderful happy ending, if you're interested. But the 28th and the 29th of this month, we do have the Sun and Saturn and Mercury all conjunct in Pisces while forming a sextile to Jupiter. And so, boy, that energy changes quite a bit, or actually it just brings more emotion into the setting and the scene. And we've got so much Aquarian energy that it does allow things to become more fluid, but also for you to ground yourself in this new energy, in this new chapter, in the truth, to ground yourself in the truth of something. That's the sextile to Jupiter. And so how do you see that combo platter there, Rose?
Well, on the 27th, Mars and Jupiter are in that square formation as well, too. And that square is, again, Mars is in the sign of Aquarius. So that is a last quarter square for students of astrology, and that's a shift of consciousness as well, too. And right after that, on the 29th, we have this conjunction Sun, Mercury, and Saturn conjunct in the sign of Pisces. So I think that this is very fruitful. Pisces is a dissolving influence. Saturn is a solidifying influence. So I think by the end of the month, we come to some kind of crystallization or some solidification. It's like making the potential real, right? You know, it's got that kind of feel about it, getting clearer on what the best avenue is for moving forward. And that's the Mars Jupiter transit here is now saying, I'm going to move this direction here. And immediately, it's kind of immediately you get that sense of, oh, I've got something very tangible to work with. That's what I think that combination of transits is. You know, exploring your options, deciding that it looks like the direction forward might be moving in this way. That's going to be intuition speaking, impetus speaking, instinct speaking. You know, I feel pulled this way. And Sun, Mercury, and Venus gives you a solidification on that, you know, makes it real, gives you a kind of a confirmation that, this is really something I can work with as I move forward. I think that that's what the dynamic is.
I love that. I loved all the words you used. I loved all the words that you used there, the solidification, making something, even making the dream real or something ideal, something you can count on, something potentially sustainable. What's dissolved is the stuff that isn't going to be holding water, right? So whatever holds water for you, you will know. Whatever is something that you can trust moving forward. I love, too, how you use the word, I think you said confirmational or tangible. These words are so Saturnian, and we want that. We want to know what's worth our time and worth our energy. And so it's a wonderful combination, I feel, on the heels of so much electricity. And then right after that, as we mentioned, we've got Mars and Venus squaring Uranus. So what I'd like to mention, I think we might have to take a break here right after this break, is we've got a new moon in Pisces on the same day or the night that Mars and Uranus square. I believe it's on the, maybe it might be the next day, the night of the night. We'll talk about that right after the break.
Yeah, let's talk about it after the break.
Find out about Kristen Fontana and get your free weekly astrological forecast on her website, kristenfontana.com. Read articles written by the founder of evolutionary astrology, Jeffrey Wolf Green. Evolutionary astrology is a spiritual perspective astrology from Pluto's point of view, and what a view it is. You can even order a detailed personalized chart that tells you about your past, present, and future. You'll also discover where and when Kristen's upcoming conferences, workshops, and appearances will be on kristenfontana.com. That's K-R-I-S-T-I-N, Fontana.com.
Okay, you're stressed. You need a little R&R. Wouldn't going to a spa help? There's all kinds of spas, too. Destination spas, medical spas, day spas, even dental and mobile spas. Where do you find the right spa at the right price? Oh, no, more stress? Well, not anymore. Visit SpaFinders.com. At SpaFinders.com, you'll find everything you need to know about spas from around the world. So de-stress. Click on SpaFinders.com right on our homepage. Ah, I'm feeling relaxed already.
What would happen if you didn't follow the established path? Would you feel scared or proud? Could you explain that helping the people of Peru improve their own community would also have an effect on your own? Would you rather make your own way or spend a lifetime saying, what if? Life is calling. How far will you go? Peace Corps. To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or go to peacecorps.gov.
Water. In the hot summer sun, water is a natural thought, like relaxing at the beach with the waves lapping at your feet, or perhaps being with your significant other under a secluded, gently cascading waterfall. If you want a little more action, how about water skiing or boating on an icy, clear blue lake? With Expedia.com, everything you need for travel, flights, hotels, cruises, vacation packages, they have it all at a price you can afford. Go to HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Expedia.com.
I'm William Shatner, and this is Jimmy. Animals like Jimmy are often left behind by people fleeing hurricanes, fires, floods, and earthquakes. These abandoned animals cannot survive on their own. If you must evacuate your home, please never leave an animal behind. If you absolutely cannot take your animal with you, never leave him helplessly chained or caged. Many animals die because they cannot escape fires or rising waters. Animals need your help. Thank you.
Call PETA today, 757-622-PETA.
HealthyLife.net. The Positive Radio Network.
All right, we have returned, and wow, another loaded month ahead. So I was just looking at the charts, and it looks like actually that really early in the morning on the 10th is that new moon in Pisces. So of course, if you're not in the West Coast, it will be on the 10th. Did I skip any big transits before we get to that?
No, I just wanted to say that what we were talking about before the break, the Jupiter-Mars square and the Sun-Mercury-Saturn conjunction can give you a quick confirmation, you know, that whatever you're choosing seems to be hold good water. Yeah. And so when we come up to the transits, you want to talk about that new moon. I just mentioned the third and the ninth, but on the ninth, Mercury will move into Aries, but before it does, on the eighth, it's in the morning on the eighth, Mercury is conjunct Neptune. So by the time we come to the end of that first week, you know, Mercury, Neptune, It's about going with the flow, right? You know, it's about giving into the creative and doing a little bit more imagining or relaxing into it, perhaps doing that as well, too. Now, having said that, you know, Mercury, Neptune, maybe you can't see your way clear or you're a little confused, or it can be an energy drain as well, too. It can be all of that. But right behind that, still on that day, I mean, I've been saying it, maybe it'd be a good day to ditch out of work early or take Friday off. But just behind that, you know, Mars is building to that square with Uranus. So the energy will still keep, keep electric, I think, through that end of the week. So Mercury moves into Aries on the 9th, same day that Mars and Uranus are conjunct. On the 10th, we have the new moon. And on the 11th, we have the new moon in Pisces. It's 2 a.m. on the 10th. So it's very early on Sunday. And by the way, the 10th for us here in North America is daylight saving as well, too, right? So change your clocks. And then on the 11th, Venus moves into Pisces. So we have the 8th, 9th, 10th, and 11th as a run of stars.
Well, one thing I like about this new moon, it's at 20 degrees of Pisces on the 10th, is that it's sextiling Uranus. So if you track this energy, there's this combination of Pisces, Aquarius, back and forth, right? And the new moon just in Pisces, sextiling Uranus is also another validating energy. It could be another breakthrough, another step forward. You make a contact, you feel the movement, you feel inspired. And you make a connection maybe with somebody that helps you lead a vision you have forward. It, you know, it could be any number of things along these lines. When we're looking at Uranus, it can be very unexpected. Of course, it's still squaring Mars at the time, but it is also sextiling the new moon. So these energies do offset one another. I think that the Uranus-Mars square can feel agitating leading up to the new moon on the 9th, very much so. Maybe you're anticipating something or waiting on someone, not sure what's going to happen. Or maybe you're just anticipating something that you don't even know what it is. You just feel it on a vibrational level, like something's going to happen. You know that feeling. We all get it. And then by the time the new moon happens, it's just like you're riding the wave. So I feel like those 2 days could feel very different in your body.
Yeah, and that goes along. Yeah, I'd feel very different from one day to the next, you know, from the 8th to the 9th in terms of that, but also adding to that kind of stressor, that thing is Mercury moving into Aries and not knowing where to put that energy, right? You know, feeling like, you know, I'm frustrated. I want to go, I want to take this on. I'm going to blurt it out, you know, whatever it might be. And so that energy needs a bit of refinement. Which hopefully the new moon in Pisces will soften the edges a little bit of that. So we've got that going at the same time.
Also, Rose, as soon as Mercury enters Aries, it forms a sextile to Pluto right out of the gates. It's so supportive. You know, we like these sextiles. So I do feel like, it does remind me of... you know, if you're writing music, and I just love it when a musician creates a new sound with a song, whether they're dropping it down half of a note or something, and it just, wow, changes the feel of the song. It's like one subtle change in a melody or one sudden change in a work of art you're creating or a plan that you have or even how you're communicating with someone you love, that one subtle change. But when it's done with like bravado, or if it's done with confidence, when it's done with courage, it just makes an impact. It's like picking up the phone and finally calling somebody that you want to have a conversation with about an idea that you have. And maybe you're second guessing yourself, but now you're not. You're like ready to roll. Let's go. So I do love that shift right there.
Yeah, I just you and I both have Aries, strong Aries, and I just love that when Aries is on track, when it's on track, it just feels so good. And your action is just so well timed. So hopefully you can take advantage of that. And that would be a good weekend to to allow yourself to be free enough to go and do and be as you see fit. You know, like don't chain yourself to a desk. Get out there and get some fresh air. Right. I think we have to move to another break.
Okay. We'll be right back.
Find out about Kristen Fontana and get your free weekly astrological forecast on her website, KristenFontana.com. Read articles written by the founder of evolutionary astrology, Jeffrey Wolf Green. Evolutionary astrology is a spiritual perspective astrology from Pluto's point of view, and what a view it is. You can even order a detailed personalized chart that tells you about your past, present, and future. You'll also discover where and when Kristen's upcoming conferences, workshops, and appearances will be on KristenFontana.com. That's KRISTIN Fontana.com.
Have you ever wondered why you are here on this planet and what the point to all of this is? Evolutionary astrology is a natural science that allows for an understanding of the evolutionary journey of the soul from life to life. Evolutionary astrology provides a vehicle to understand prior life dynamics that have led to the reason and purpose for the life you live. It offers a depth of information and insights about each person that no other type of astrology can provide. As Jeffrey Wolf Green, the founder of evolutionary astrology, says,
"For those who wish to unveil the depth of who you actually are, I would highly recommend that you seek out qualified evolutionary astrologers such as Kristen Fontana and other graduated students of the School of Evolutionary Astrology. For those who are considering becoming an astrologer to make it a natural career, I'd recommend that you consider Jeffrey Wolf Green's School of Evolutionary Astrology, or it will assist you in answering and your clients answering big questions. Why am I here? Thanks for listening. God bless."
Okay, you're stressed. You need a little R&R. Wouldn't going to a spa help? There's all kinds of spas, too. Destination spas, medical spas, day spas, even dental and mobile spas. Where do you find the right spa at the right price? Oh, no, more stress? Well, not anymore. Visit SpaFinders.com. At SpaFinders.com, you'll find everything you need to know about spas from around the world. So de-stress. Click on SpaFinders.com right on our homepage. Ah, oh, I'm feeling relaxed already.
Whether you're taking a short trip or traveling across the world, Magellans.com is the world's most trusted source for travel, and they guarantee 100% satisfaction. They have everything you need to make travel just a bit more pleasurable. Who doesn't like that? They have travel alarms, clothing, the best luggage, wallets, everything you need except the ticket. Visit the advertiser page on HealthyLife.net and click on Magellans now. You will not only see their travel products, but get a free catalog and read articles with tips on how to make your travel easier. Visit the advertiser page and click on Magellans now.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
All right, we have returned, and we've got a significant more to share, and we will speak a little bit about this eclipse at the end of the month. But before we do that, Rose, before on the break, we were talking about Venus moving into Pisces as well. That's a big energy change. When's that going to happen?
Well, so yeah, Venus moves into Pisces on the 11th of March and it goes to April 4. So of course the rulers, of the nodes that we talked about at the start of our show today, changing signs are really important to note. And of course we're already in the month of Pisces, which of course goes to the, spring eclipse on the 19th of March. Pisces, Venus in Pisces is about, again, the search for what that ultimate everything might be for you, right? You know, it's an evaluation process. It says, what is optimum here for me? What is the ideal? And it's allowing yourself to maybe conjure a dream a little bit more, to allow yourself to diffuse the energy. Moving from Aquarius to Pisces, Aquarius is a stressful archetype, right? You know, it keeps that energy very, very high strung, I think. And as that moves into Pisces, it allows for some diffusion, from some relaxing to happen with that Venus process of evaluating what are my essential needs, right? And this whole thing here, you know, Venus is the archetype of our pre-existing needs. And as we're moving through this new Venus-Mars cycle, we're reinventing, you know, what we essentially need for ourselves, you know, so all of that. Venus in Pisces is the, you know, Pisces is the higher octave of Venus, right? You know, so Venus is all about that value and meaning. And this is about a resonance here. Again, Pisces is the archetype of potential. Venus in Pisces is about entertaining possibility, exploring potential, loosening up, going with the flow, allowing, surrendering, rather than trying to force what isn't coming naturally for you in terms of how you are resonating with yourself, how you're tuning in inwardly. What are you listening to? What are you hearing inside of yourself? You know, what are you dreaming about? You know, what is inspiring you? Give yourself time to pull away from the hamster wheel long enough to actually get back in touch with what your soul desires for yourself. You can't do that unless you have some quiet moments, unless you have some sanctuary to pull back and to realign with yourself, right? Oh, you're muted.
It's just a reminder that you don't have to shoulder it all on your own, and that it all doesn't have to come from within this current container. When you allow yourself to relax, you open the windows and doors, you become a receptive soul. You're receptive to all those things that can enter you from on high, that you can access within yourself. And I love that you brought up, Rose, that the higher octave of Venus is Neptune, which is the ruler for Pisces. So if you put Venus in Pisces, Venus is accessing its higher octave. Venus is accessing its potential. Venus is your inner relationship to yourself, your own personal potential, but also the potential of what's can happen in your relationships as well. Venus does have to do with our resources, so it can connect to how you earn, so a greater potential in that regard. And so I love the bridge that is created through these, through this connection when you shift from Aquarius to Pisces here. And also I'm reminded of this soccer analogy. I might have used it before when my coach used to say, let the ball do the work. So if you're all ramped up with all this electricity, this Aquarian energy, and you're full of so much that you want to do and express, so much energy, so much Mars energy, you don't even know where to put it, you're going to be much more effective. Instead of dribbling the ball all by yourself all over the field, you're on a team, right? This is Mars and Venus. You're on a team with others. You're not solo. When you let the ball do the work, then the ball moves a lot faster than you do. It can reach your partner over there and reach your teammate over there, and you can collaborate. You can move together. You can move as 11 on the field when you're looking at a team. And so let the ball do the work just means let the gods help you, you know, let someone in your realm of whatever you're working within help you know how to best delegate so you can be supported. Let the ball do the work.
I think that that's brilliant, Kristen, in terms of the teamwork. Get this, the teamwork of Venus in Pisces and Mars is still in Aquarius. And we've just entered into Mercury in Aries. Those are the three personal planets. They're a team, right? You know, so we have that Venus oriented to its higher octave. You know, it is surrendering, you know, it is opening up and allowing for Mars, which we always talk about, the cutting edge of soul desires. You know, the soul is programming the impulses. Mars in Aquarius is downloading something fresh and new. It's got some new impulses here. It is observing itself in action in a more objective way. And we're also programming that Mercury in Aries, which again is the mind, you know, it's quickening of the perception tool. Mercury is the mind, you know, how we are seeing and how we're connecting the dots. Those three as a team, you know, let the ball do the work. Mars and Mercury are doing the work if we'll step out of our own way and allow, right? So I love the analogy.
Yeah, the ball, when you kick a ball like that, it's just going naturally like a river is flowing, right? Or a wave when you're in the wave. But we always talk about the river being the path of least resistance as it makes its way back to the sea. It's not fighting the tide. And so when you do surrender with Venus and Pisces, and when you surrender to the wave or you surrender to the river and the water, which is the emotion within it, and you don't fight it. You don't fight it. When the ball, when you let the ball do the work, you know, it just rolls. You know, you give it a knock and it goes. So it's effortless, actually. It takes so much less energy. You don't have to force a thing. You just flow.
Fabulous. Let's go to a break. We'll be right back.
For all your live or pre-recorded webcasting needs, come to earthchannel.com. Get your web-based message out to a select group or the whole world. It's easy. A pioneer in webcasting, earthchannel.com provides the best products and services to big corporations and government users. And now, the same technology is available to you. They have the best earthcasting coders, servers, and products to meet your technical needs. But wait, don't want to mess with technical stress? No problem. They'll do it for you. earthchannel.com is your answer. You can use webcasting for lots of things, like advertising, marketing, customer support, training, and don't forget, web radio and TV. In fact, you're listening to a live Earthcast right now, so come to earthchannel.com. Actualize your audio or video webcasting needs today. You can't beat the friendly service or the price. Call earthchannel.com at 800-849-8978. That's 800-849-8978.
Find out about Kristen Fontana and get your free weekly astrological forecast on her website, KristenFontana.com. Read articles written by the founder of evolutionary astrology, Jeffrey Wolf Green. Evolutionary astrology is a spiritual perspective astrology from Pluto's point of view, and what a view it is. You can even order a detailed personalized chart that tells you about your past, present, and future. You'll also discover where and when Kristen's upcoming conferences, workshops, and appearances will be on KristenFontana.com. That's K-R-I-S-T-I-N, Fontana.com.
When you need a positive point of view, turn to HealthyLife.net, your 24/7 radio network for a better future.
All right, we're going to wrap it up, our last little 8 minutes, maybe six-minute segment here. But we want to talk to you about two things. Let's talk about the full moon eclipse that's coming in Libra. And also, I want to remind everybody, as of January 26th, all the planets are moving direct, still are, have been, and will continue to until the end of March. April 1st, 2nd, we've got Mercury coming up to go retrograde, but we've been enjoying this forward movement, even though it's been a little wild, and we will continue to do so through March. So take it from here, Rose. Let's talk about this eclipse.
Now, the eclipse is a partial eclipse, and it's kind of fainter in terms of the astronomy end of it, but it will be potent on your chart if you have a direct contact with the eclipse. But suffice to say, you know, and it's 5 degrees, 5.5 degrees of Libra Aries. The moon is conjunct the south node, and that's in a culminating or balsamic form relationship. And the sun to the north node is also in that culminating or balsamic relationship. So this is bringing something, you know, to a peak. And also during the eclipse, by the way, Ceres is sitting in square to the nodal axis as well, too. So again, you know, the fact that the sun and moon are aspected, you know, close relationship to the nodes is bringing something that is, you know, the nodes are always bringing the past forward, you know, the important content from past lifetimes forward, the work to be done right now, right? You know, and so whenever we have that Libra Aries here, it is to evaluate in some kind of new way what you need for yourself and how you show up in relationship, right? You know, so I already see this dynamic happening with clients and, you know, what I'm observing right there as well, too. And it is how can you find that middle ground, or how can you collaborate, cooperate, and still maintain self-autonomy within all of that as well, too, right? You know, so this is a dynamic that is really quite potent. Chiron's been aspecting the North Node as well, too. And I just think that there is whatever it is that you're dealing with over this couple of months. And remember that eclipses are like plucking a string of a musical instrument. I say this all the time. You know, it's already operational beforehand, and this is setting up for the total solar eclipse on April 8th, which is at 19 degrees with Chiron at 19 degrees. So this is really an extraordinary setup between these two eclipses of relationship dynamics. It is, you know, Libra is going, is the extremity. It's being able to, it's having gone to one extreme and now needing to come back to center, come back to yourself and figure that one out. So, I think that this dynamic is already in play with what we see, just in terms of, you know, all relationships. What would you say, Christian? You know, how are you looking at this?
Well, as I mentioned, you know, that because I really do feel that to have a lunar eclipse first, it's kind of nice that it's a partial. Hopefully it won't be totally overwhelming in that way, but it's in Libra. So it's going to show you where things are imbalanced, because you're going to be feeling it emotionally, and you're going to be feeling it more maybe than you usually do. The things that you used to tolerate, you won't anymore. And so it's just showing you where you need to have more give and take, and where you need to ask for what you need. And obviously within that window, it's going to give you an opportunity to make those changes during this eclipse window. There is a ripple effect. This thing does continue on, and it is very much a tuning fork kind of energy. So when the total solar eclipse happens in Aries, you know, Rome wasn't built in a day, right? So all the changes are not going to be taking place right away, or they're not going to be some perfect unfolding. We can also feel upset or angry if these things aren't changing in the way that we'd like with so much Aries energy, or maybe our wounds become really they just become so obvious to us during the eclipse, right? And so then we're ready to really to heal what's surfacing at that time. How do you see that? I know we want to talk more about this eclipse at the next show, the Aries energy, but real quickly, because you do a lot of work with Chiron, and for this to be conjunct the eclipse, what do you see with that?
Well, Chiron is an archetype of fate and destiny, and the eclipse itself, the lunar eclipse on the 24th, it's a key person, key circumstance, key event. And you may be already in process dealing with something. You know, when I'm looking at this, I have to say, I meant to say this earlier, from the 11th to the 17th of March, Venus is on the move. On the 17th, we have a Sun-Neptune conjunction. And this is a whole creative process that's in development before the eclipse happens, right? And at the time of the eclipse, this is coming into fuller awareness. This is exactly it. We mentioned this at the beginning of the show. Full moon is the raising of the subjective consciousness. In Libra, it is seeing that imbalance, seeing where the enmeshment is. There's perhaps a situation where you feel that you've been pulled into something, and is how do you extricate that so that you can, separate yourself from the circumstances. And I think that the point with this, with Chiron and Aries, it's your unique path. It is, it's a degree of separation here that you have to extricate yourself from that enmeshment, from the involvement there. And, you know, despite the fact that there may be some dysfunction in that relationship, there may be that imbalance, there may be something that is unable to be corrected or healed or fixed. It's not so much about that involvement, but about your own actions, how you process for yourself, what you learn about that. You know, it all comes back to me, myself, and I. So I think that that's the important piece of that, of Chiron being aligned with the solar eclipse. It is really that sometimes you can't do anything about other people, how they feel, what they think, what they want, how they're going to operate, you know, how they're going to interface with you. You can't do very much about that, but you have to come back to yourself. You have to be true to yourself. You have to function in a way that is best for you. And, you know, with a Chiron, sometimes it's no pain, no gain. You know, maybe I want to be over here. Maybe I want to be with you. Maybe I want to team up with you. Maybe I want to, but I'm finding that I just can't, I can't live with the criteria, whatever that might be. So it means that I'm going to have to go my own way. Right. I think we just talked about that before on air, of something of that is like, I really do want to do this, but I can't sacrifice myself in the process.
Absolutely. You know, what else is happening? And we will talk about this at the end of March, but Mars, which rules Aries, it rules the eclipse. It rules the transiting North Node. It rules Mercury in Aries, Chiron in Aries, Venus in Aries. Good Lord. Mars is balsamic to Saturn in Pisces on that day. And so there is, it's as something new is beginning, something also is finishing, linked with old dynamics or places where you felt like you were sacrificing perhaps too much of yourself in a situation or giving too much, going too far. So there is a healing closure energy, and it really is taking charge of your path, of your journey, of your joy, of your, ultimately, of your evolution. And so that is a powerful eclipse, and it will affect very strongly your choices in the next 6 months of your life.
Yeah, and just one last thing to say about the Chiron in the Aries, it is like you're standing right at the breaking point, right at that dividing line, right?
Wow.
Yeah.
That's so great.
That's big. You know, we have gone way over time with today's show.
Okay. The dividing line.
The dividing line. That's exactly that Chiron in Aries.
Wow. All right. Well,
the split. The split, the dividing line. Yeah.
You have a way with words, Rose, I got to say. I love hearing your insights. I love sharing a space with you. I love sharing all of this with all of you listening. And I just feel us all in the same orbit, all wanting the same things for one another. Please connect, you know, through the sphere of energy, and elevate this place. We have so much within our disposal to make a difference. Even with our thoughts and our actions and our energy, you don't have to be face to face with someone. Let's just work to raise the vibration here. We need it more than ever. And I can't wait to reconnect with you next month.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Namaste.